Jesus' name. Thank you for that last song, Alex. The last phrase said something about on the stormy sea, he speaks peace, and this morning has felt a little stormy, so thankful that God is faithful, and we'll see what he has for us this morning. I think we're going to start off with a little children's class, so I got a few objects I want to get. So if you children want to come forward and sit on the front bench here as I'm getting my things around. I think we should have enough room here. Some of you might have to sit on the second bench. I want some of you older boys to sit back there. All right, the rest of y'all can sit right there. All righty. So I got two things I want to do this morning. First of all, I want to tell you a story from the Bible, okay? And I think you know the story. But in the Bible, we have the story of when Jesus was preaching to a bunch of people, okay? He was preaching to a lot more people than are here this morning. Probably about, it could have been 8,000 to 10,000 people he was preaching to. Thank you, Dwayne. So Jesus was talking to all these people, okay? And he had been talking to them for a long time. And it was getting late. They were getting hungry. And Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, look, these people have been here for a long time. We need to give them something to eat. They're getting hungry. They have a long ways to go home. And the disciples looked at all the people and they were like, but Jesus, how are we going to do this? Even if we had a whole bunch of money, we still couldn't buy enough bread to feed all these people. And as they were talking there, a little boy, now the Bible doesn't tell us how old he was, but he was probably, let's say he was maybe, you know, 6, 7, 8, somewhere in there. A little boy came up to one of the disciples and said, look, I have this little lunch here my mom packed for me. It's 5 loaves, 5 little loaves, and 2 dried fish. He said, I have this lunch, and I want to give it to you. I want you to use this however you want to use it to feed the people. And the disciples told Jesus this, said, look, this is all we have. This little bit of food is all we got. But Jesus said, okay, that's okay. He took it. He blessed it. He prayed to God. He blessed it, and then he started breaking pieces off. He gave them to the disciples. He said, disciples, go hand these out to all these people. And they started handing out the bread and fish, and it just kept coming. More bread, more fish. And before you knew it, everyone had more than enough. They even had so much left over that they got piles of leftover bread, leftover fish that people couldn't eat. There was too much food. Okay, now imagine if this little boy, he came to listen to Jesus. He saw the problem. He saw that they needed food. But what if he would have said, look, my little lunch, it's not going to do anything to all these people. It's not near enough to go around. I'm just going to keep it for myself. Besides, I brought it for me. I'm hungry. I want to eat it. I don't want to give it to all these people. And what difference can I make? I'm just a little boy with a little lunch. And he would have kept it to himself. Now, Jesus would have found a way to fix the problem. But the little boy didn't do that. He wasn't selfish. He gave what he had. He was a little boy with a little lunch. But he let Jesus use him in a big way. Okay? Now, I got a little object lesson here. We got ourselves a nice water bottle and a 5-gallon igloo. Okay? So these things, they both kind of serve the same purpose, right? You put liquid in each one so you can take it out and drink it, right? It's to hold things, to hold water or tea or whatever you want to put in it. But there's a pretty big difference between the two. So we're going to give the water bottle and the igloo personalities this morning. So what if this water bottle, he's sitting here, and he'd look over at the igloo, and he'd be like, look how big that thing is. I mean, he can hold so much. He can do so much good. He can probably give water to a couple hundred people. And me, I'm just a little 16-ounce water bottle. What can I do? I get carried around. I get tossed. I get thrown around, dropped. This guy, he just sits in one spot. He has such a good life. He's doing so much good. He is so useful. Well, what if the igloo would look at the water bottle and say, look how compact and useful this water bottle is. You know, me, I'm just this big old hunk sitting on a table over here. I can't be carried around. I can't do much. This water bottle, he can go everywhere. He fits in your hand nice. And, you know, he's a lot more useful than I am. So, but we know that water bottles and igloos can't think. And they just do what they're meant to do, right? This water bottle holds water. It goes with you. The igloo is made to give water to a bunch of people, and that's what it does. And it does it well. And that's the same way with you children, and for all of us. But thinking about you children, you know, sometimes we want to do big things, right? We want to do great things. We want to do maybe big things for God or things that people really notice and think well of us. But you know, the important thing is that you do what you're meant to do right now. You be who you are now. And don't try to be an igloo when you're a water bottle. Okay? If there's a kind word you can say for someone now, do it now. If there's something you can do to help your parents, do it now. Don't wait for a big thing, but start with the little things. Does that make sense? All right. Thank you. You can go back to your parents. All right, for the rest of the message this morning, I'm going to be talking about the thing of callings, God calling us to different things and different works. And I'm not going to go into the thing of how do we know what our calling is, or are we sure we're doing our calling just right, or maybe God's calling us to something else, but more the thing of, you know, we're, as children of God, and I trust I'm talking to children of God this morning, God has a work for you to do. If you're a born-again follower of Christ, he has a work for you to do. And sometimes it's a specific calling. Other times it's maybe more general. It's the mundane, everyday life that God is calling you to do. But regardless, you have a work to fill. You have a position to do. And maybe it's simply just being faithful in the day-in, day-out life, at work, at home, in your community, whatever it is. But all of us, are as followers of God, his children, we are called to work for him. And it's going to look different for different people in different situations. But what is your response to God's call? How are you responding to the work God has called you to do now? You know, sometimes the call is big, sometimes it's overwhelming, and you look at a task that you're asked to do and you're like, God, I can't do this, it's too big for me. You know, that's right, it is too big for you. Or maybe it's just the mundane, everyday life that you're doing, and it feels like maybe it's unfulfilling, or how can this be serving God to my full potential? And sometimes we get tired in the work. We get worn out in just the calling that God has put on our life. The place he has put us to fill can wear us down sometimes. Or maybe we get distracted from the calling. We forget that we are here for a purpose. We forget that we have a work to do, and we're just all caught up in my life and living for me. That can happen as well. Three main points this morning: our response to the call, God's provision in the call and the reward of the call. Thinking of our call to work for God, fulfilling the position he has called you to. Our response to the call. In Jonah chapter 1, first of all, I'm going to look at two examples here in the Bible of how of different people's responding to God's call on a specific work that he wanted them to do. And it's my choice, it's your choice how you respond to God's call in your life. And we're going to, it's two separate responses here, two different responses we want to look at. In Jonah chapter 1, the first three verses, God gives Jonah a very specific call. He says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. For their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Again, Jonah got a very specific call from God. If I understand right, it was probably an audible voice. And wouldn't that be nice sometimes? But his response to this was not wanting to obey. He wanted to go his own way. And I don't know exactly his whole thought process there, but the Ninevites, the people in Nineveh, were Assyrians, if I understand correctly. They were enemies of Israel. And I don't think Jonah had a lot of love for these people. You can see that from the response later on in the book when God actually... He heard their repentance and he forgave them. He didn't destroy the city. Jonah was really beat out about that. He really wanted them to be destroyed. So I don't think he had a lot of love for these people. And maybe that's why he ran. He said, I don't want to sacrifice myself for these people. I don't want to tell them how to be saved. I want them to be destroyed. I don't know. Or maybe there was some fear there. These weren't the friendliest people, especially to enemies. And maybe he was afraid to go and tell them the truth. But either way, he ran away from the work God called him to. And for us today, maybe we don't pull a Jonah, but sometimes God is putting a work in front of us, an opportunity. And maybe it's fear that's keeping us from doing what God wants us to do. Or maybe it's selfishness, like Jonah. I don't want to put myself on the line. I don't want to step out of my comfort zone. I want to do what I want to do. And we step back from that and don't fulfill the calling God has called us to. But you know, even if the task looks scary, even if there's fear there and there's unknowns there, when we step out in faith doing what God wants us to do, he will provide for us. He will take care of us. We're going to see that as we go on further here. The second example is Abraham. Turn to Genesis chapter 12. And we'll look at Abraham's response to God's call. Again, we have another specific call here. But notice the difference between Abraham's response and Jonah's response. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came." We don't have the thought process of Abraham here, or Abram, but... It's not recorded that he asked any questions. It says in verse 4, Abram's response, so Abram departed. He did as the Lord said. He didn't stop and question and try to get out of it. And you know, it probably didn't make a whole lot of sense to him why God was asking him to do this. He was 75. He was getting old. Why not just sit and enjoy his life where he was, enjoy his retirement? But God called him somewhere else. Abram had a willingness to comply with God's plans and do what he asked him to do. Whereas Jonah didn't want to give up what he wanted, and he wanted to go his own way. And we know how God used Abram. And, you know, God's work gets done when we accept his call. We yield ourselves to him to be used how he wants us to use us. And we step out in faith, believing and trusting. And that's when God's work can get done, just like in the life of Abram. Continuing this thought of our response to the call, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we're going to be spending the rest of our time here in 2 Timothy. So turn to chapter 1. We'll start by reading verses 6 to 13. This is, again, Paul writing to Timothy. He was a young man, probably upper 20s, lower 30s. And I believe at this time he was in charge of a church, if I'm not mistaken. And this is Paul encouraging him and speaking truth to him. Verse 6, 2 Timothy 1. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Going back to verse 6, Paul tells Timothy, stir up the gift of God. Don't let it lie dormant. Put it to work. And I think Timothy was potentially facing a lot of persecution here. Maybe a lot of hard times, and Paul was encouraging him to don't just shy away from that, but stir up the gift, get to work, do what God has called you to do. Now, this isn't a message on gifts this morning, but I do believe we have specific gifts, we have specific talents that God wants to use. And he wants us to put them to work in the work he has called us to. Now notice it says, stir up the gift that is in thee. He doesn't say, stir up the gift that is in this brother over here. Or stir up, you know, sometimes we can look at other people and say, that person is so talented. Maybe he's such a good speaker. He's so much better at speaking than I am. Or he's so much better at caring for people than I am. Or whatever, you fill in the blanks. And we can look at that and we can just feel like we're just not, you know, we don't quite add up because I'm not like that person. But Paul says to stir up the gift that is in you. And yes, sometimes we need to look at what other people are doing and we need to learn and improve from other people's examples. But it's important that we do what God has called us to do. not what God has called somebody else to do. Kind of like my illustration in the children's class this morning. If you're supposed to be a water bottle, be a water bottle. Do what God has called you to do. Stir up the gift that is in you. And I think it's good to in humility, but to look at your life and what are some of the gifts God has given me? And how can I use these gifts to serve Him in the place He has called me to? I think we should be doing that. Do what you can with what you have where God has placed you. And I think that's the important thing. Instead of, you know, putting a lot of energy into trying to figure out my gifts, if you are just committed to God and faithful with where He has you, with what you have, as you continue in that, you will discover the gifts He has given you, the talents He has given you, and then let those be used by Him. This thing of stirring up the gift, it means being intentional, not just living life for myself, but being willing to step out of my comfort zone and look for opportunities to be used. Second point, God's provision in the call. So we looked at our response to the call, now God's provision in the call. Continuing here in 2 Timothy 1 in verse 7, in verse 6, he told Timothy, stir up the gift. In verse 7, he gives the reason why. For God hath not given. So don't be afraid. You can work. You can let God use you because of these things. Because God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Therefore, stir up the gift. As children of God, we don't have anything to be afraid of. Thinking of being used by God in the work He has called us to, sometimes Satan can bring fear. You know, what if? What if you fail in this? What if you just aren't enough and you can't pull through, you can't get it done? Or what will other people think? You know, if you do this thing, or if you go here, or you, whatever, you fill in the blanks, what are people going to think? Or just the fear of being taken out of my comfort zone. That's a real one. And here in 2 Timothy, I believe the church was facing the very real fear of persecution. If you are totally committed to God and you are being used by God, you will be persecuted in this time and place here. That was very very real to them. You know, maybe right now God has you serving your family, being a parent to your children. And I don't know how you find it, but for me, I know there's some fears that come with that. Again, that thing of fear of failure. What if I mess up? What if I'm not a good enough dad? You know, you fill in the blanks there. But this thing of fear doesn't come from God. As you're facing your calling, you're facing the place God has put you. On one hand, you have fear. You have the things that Satan tries to bring in to discourage you and get you doubting. On the other hand, you have power, love, and a sound mind from God through the Spirit. The fear does not come from God. But God has made these things available to us. And I want to look at each one of these three, power, love, and a sound mind. We're going to unpack that a little bit. Power. So the Greek word is dynamis. So it's spelled D-Y-N-A-M-I-S. So think dynamite, okay? Moving things. Great force that can make things happen. That is the power that comes from God. Fear immobilizes. It keeps you from acting. It keeps you from doing what you're supposed to be doing. But power can enable you, in spite of the fear, maybe not necessarily taking away the fear, but in spite of it, can enable you to act. Because like I said at the beginning, Our calling is too big for us on our own. But with God, that power is available to do what He has called you to do. Sorry, I got my notes mixed up here. In fact, I'm missing a page in my notes. All right. Oh, here it is. All right, I apologize. Give me a minute here. All right, we're going to go without that page. The second thing, so we had power, now we have love. And again, fear can keep us from loving like we should in the call He has called us to. And so a couple different aspects of God giving us love in our calling. First of all, sometimes God calls us to serve people that we really have a hard time loving. Okay? Sometimes He puts us in a position where there's a difficult person that He wants you to work with. But that person just really gets under your skin and you have a hard time loving that person. God gives us the power of love to overcome what Satan tries to bring in to keep us from doing what we're supposed to do. The other thing, sometimes we struggle with loving the calling God has called us to. I don't know how you find it, but sometimes there's a work that you know you're supposed to do, and maybe you have a hard time just really plugging into it and loving it. God can give you the power of love to fulfill the calling He has called you to do. A sound mind. Again, God gave us power, He gave us love, and He gives us a sound mind. So fear, again, we're contrasting this with fear because the first part of the verse says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but these things, okay? So sound mind and fear. Fear cripples us. Fear can keep us from thinking clearly. It can cause us to make rash decisions. Whereas the peace of God, the Holy Spirit of God, can give us clear thinking where we can make clear decisions in the midst of difficult situations. And in the calling that God has called you to, sometimes those situations come up. And fear or whatever it is can come in and can keep us from working, keep us from doing what God wants us to do. But God gives us the power of a sound mind. So that is God's provision in the call. We looked at our response to the call. We saw Jonah. We saw Abram. And we looked at what God gives us to accomplish the call, accomplish the work He has called you to. Now let's look a little bit at the reward of the call. I'm going to read verses 11 and 12 of 2 Timothy 1. Paul says, "Whereunto I'm appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." So what did Paul commit to Him? Commit to God. I think Paul committed his life to God, right? He said, "God, I'm yours. I want to be used by you." This is no longer about Paul. This is about you. Please use me in your work. And then in verse 11, Paul said that after he committed himself to God, God called him to these things, a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. So that was his calling. And Paul had confidence that the God he had committed himself to was going to give him what he needed to fulfill the calling that he called him to. He said, I am persuaded. I have believed, and he is going to keep. And that's the reward of responding to the call, reward of surrendering ourselves to God to let him use us where he wants us. There's a peace, there's a rest, there's a keeping that happens that you will not get when you pull a Jonah, when you go to do your own thing and try to run away from the call. But God will keep you. And again, back to what I said in the children's class, maybe y'all don't struggle with this, but sometimes you can feel like, if only I was called to do this work, or if only I was in this position, you know, then I could do great things for God. But it doesn't say here that God will keep those who are missionaries in Africa. God will keep those who are, you fill in the blanks, doing these great works. But he is able to keep you. If you are committed to him, you are 100% sold out to God. God, I want to be used by you. No matter where God calls you, he will keep you and provide for you what you need for that work. The reward of the call. In conclusion, 1 Corinthians 15, 57 and 58, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Always abounding. You know, I'm thankful this morning for y'all, for the church. And I've been blessed so many times with the way that I see people in the church being willing to be used by God where he has you. And just God bless you for that. And remember this, just keep on in the work, always abounding. And no matter where you are in life, no matter what God is calling you to, trust in him, the one who is able to keep you. And he will give you what you need to fulfill the calling he has called you to. Let's kneel in prayer.